This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
What's up, party people? Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson here. I just said party people like it's not 2015. Welcome to the Ion Football Podcast. We're going to talk some news off season. Today is July 1st as we record this. Training camp is upon us, sort of. We got like 6 weeks, right? Is that right?
First things first, happy birthday to you and to me.
That's right. You didn't text me happy birthday, but I didn't text you happy birthday either.
No, you did not. But
yours is the 27th.
Yours is the 26th of June. And where were you, the beach again?
No, I was out getting drunk on sake.
Okay. Is that a boat named sake or Japanese sake?
No, Japanese sake.
Yeah, yeah, of course. What'd you get? You know what? Wait a second. I saw your wife put on the My Face a picture of you and your son feeding you. And I thought that was funny. You're at a restaurant, I believe. And I thought that was funny because that is foreshadowing what's going to happen to you in probably 30, 40 years. Your son will have
right,
to be feeding
my son
you.
Will be feeding me.
Pushing you around in a wheelchair.
Actually, I got a pair of Rolling Stones tickets for me and my wife tonight.
Were they hidden in your brand new bit loafers?
I didn't get a whole lot for my birthday, to be honest.
Well, let's compare in a second and we'll see how you feel.
I guarantee you, I got. All right, what did you get from your birthday?
I got a pack of underwear, and I got it midday on my birthday because my wife forgot to pick it up earlier.
You got it? Wait, that's all she got you?
I don't care. Like about getting presents and stuff. And a lot of times, what I'll do is I'll buy stuff like in the weeks leading up to June to my birthday, uh-huh. And say, yeah, this can be it because it's impossible. And she's like, all right. Like last week, she was like, okay, what do you want? So I need some underwear, I guess. And then,
Well, your wife works there, right?
Yeah. What are you implying?
Well, I mean, she has her own money, so she could like she can buy.
Right. Or what are you saying about your wife?
I'm just saying. he said, looking over the door. She works.
Looking over your shoulder, making sure the door's locked.
Let me just whisper this. No, but I mean, I bought the Stones tickets. I was like, just give me some money back. And
that's hysterical.
But I'll do the same thing. I'll buy myself. I'll be like, you know what? I'm buying this for my birthday. We got some pots and pans. My mother-in-law got us. I swear to God.
It's old folks stuff. I mean, stuff that you would never ask for in your 20s. But
I was thinking I was like, man, I could kill for a new weed eater. Need some. It's just stupid. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
What a life.
So my dad, who's, you know, some might call him insane. Others might call him crazy. whatever your synonym is, it'll probably fit. But usually what he sends me is kind of a joke gift. He'll send me like for my 36th birthday, he'll send me a check for $36.36. When I turned 41, it was $41.41. This year I turned 42. Opened the check up, it was for $13.42. So I don't know if he forgot how to count, if he has Alzheimer's suddenly, if I'm out of the will. But I got a drastic reduction in my annual.
So you had budgeted in 42.
Yeah, that was a couple fewer pairs of underwear than I planned on. So that came out of my pocket.
My father-in-law does. I mean, this is better, but he gives my wife $340.
Jesus.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it pays to be.
Married into the wrong family.
That's right. But then he gives me $34.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'd have been just a screwed.
you don't even get the sense. But he thinks it's hilarious that he's, I mean, like, it's great that he gives me that, but he thinks it's hilarious that she's getting like a really
ten
nice.
Times as much.
10 times as much. That's right.
I did the math for you.
Well, I mean, I know, every year I learn the math. I don't even know if I got it this year, to be honest. That's okay.
Well, I would rather have gotten nothing than $13.42, frankly, because that's a slap in the face.
Right. That's like you have to deal with that on your taxes probably.
That's how little I make.
It's like that's a 1099 right there. So anyway, we'll talk some NFL. I promise the beer that people that left reviews for the 5-star beer that's coming out. I have the shipping stuff ready.
I can't wait to read on My Face when it's trending about how puffy haired fellow in North Carolina assaulted by angry mob who didn't get beer as promised.
I mean, I've emailed with all these people. I'm like, look, it's coming. I mean, it's just, it's a very hectic time in my life. Summer is.
That's your busiest time of year.
It is. It's crazy, man. Somebody was like, hey, can you do something the weekend of August 8th? I was like, no, that's been booked for months.
2016, maybe.
Yeah. If you want to get me in on 2016, I could potentially do that right now, but probably not. And it's, and I'm, it's not like I'm important booked up. I'm booked up for all the stupid, like all stupid reasons.
You're living life.
Yeah. Like I got a buddy coming in from Texas. We're going down to the beach.
Go ahead.
Going to DC one weekend to see a friend. Yeah. Yeah.
Same, living the dream. Months.
It's not the dream. You think I want to drive 5 hours with an 18-month-old in a car?
I can't wait till I take my 4-day vacation and get told that I can't take it because it's over Labor Day weekend.
You're taking a vacation over Labor Day?
I told you I have this old man soccer tournament get together with the high school buddies in Asheville.
And it's just like just a bunch of torn ACLs.
That's exactly. My wife said exactly that. She goes, I hope you packed a knee brace because I'm not driving home.
Hey, have you used Blue Apron at all? Have you heard about that?
I have heard of it. What is it exactly?
It's like they ship a bunch of food to your house.
Oh, yeah. I heard an ad for it. And it's supposed to be healthy food, but you still have to make it, though. That's the other thing.
But they send like if it requires like a pinch of salt, they send you a pinch of salt. Right. Like they send everything in this box. We just signed up for it. No, the first shipment's coming after the fourth, I think. But it's like $60 a week, which is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
But you get three dinners out of it. I mean, I feel like $20 a dinner is an okay price.
Yeah, you could do that at Uno's, no problem.
Uno? What the hell's an Uno's?
Pizza at Uno's.
Oh, that place is garbage.
That was a joke.
I figured like $20 a dinner is not insane. Am I crazy?
That sounds kind of high for like an at-home dinner. But of course, I don't know what the ingredients cost. Labor, of course, is free because you know you're making it. But $20 for
I was saying like if you built what are you guys gonna have for dinner tonight?
Oh Jesus, I don't know. I have to ask my wife. She handles all that.
Okay, what'd you have for dinner last night?
We had turkey burgers.
Yellowtail.
Actually, I had a couple glasses of yellowtail. We had friends over, so we broke out the good yellowtail.
Turkey burgers and.
I don't remember what else. She probably made French fries or something for the little people, but the turkey burgers were good. I can't imagine. It definitely wasn't worth $20. I'm trying to think.
We had 2 pounds of turkey. I mean, that's $12 right there.
Oh, is it? I don't know what it costs.
Yeah, turkey.
That would be terrible.
Turkey meat is crazy expensive.
Okay.
So you had the turkey meat, then you add in the buns. You got to get tomato. You got to get lettuce. Right. I'm just saying that. Like, your yellowtail, that's
negative $8.
Shipping any wine. I'm not saying $20 is like a cheap meal, but I just think it's not like
you're going to be hard pressed to eat for $20 if you go out with your family. That'd be impossible.
If you go out with your family for $20? You can't do $20.
I'm trying to think.
My wife's getting like two drinks. She's ordering. She's ordering Robbie three entrees from the kids' meal at $8.99 a piece.
I'm trying.
$100.
I was trying. Yeah.
To step into the house.
I'm not talking about like even Red Lobster. I mean like even fast food. We don't take our kids. Our kids have actually never eaten at McDonald's, which is a minor miracle.
Yeah, Robbie. I don't think Robbie has either. He probably liked McDonald's actually.
Yeah, that's a problem. They would love it.
He's a really picky eater though. It's a whole nightmare.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're trying it out. What do y'all? You don't know what you're getting yet, do you? Or do you?
There's some sort of cornbread crusted catfish, some seared pork chops, and some chicken fajita type things.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, now you could. Now these aren't like your average chicken fajitas. You know, it's not like a diced chicken and like three tortillas. You're getting some fancy ingredients on the side. Because I mean, you can do chicken fajitas for less than $20.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to report back.
I'll let everybody know.
I'm guessing it's safe to say that your Blue Apron packages will arrive before people get their beer.
Ooh, that's a good bet. Yeah, that's probably a good bet.
Easy money.
Well, no, I think it's like July. I have to log on to my Blue Apron account here. Because Lord knows I need something else to manage.
To put your $34 towards.
That's right. I think... You know what? We probably don't have to do this.
You right really right don't here. Have to look. We'll just look back. We'll look forward to the book report.
It'll be coming soon. July 8th. So yeah, I would guess that's a week from today. I would guess that the Blue Apron will arrive before the beer.
Jeez.
About the same time as my best. All right. We'll see. Anyway, so let's talk some NFL news as this is an NFL podcast. Off the bat, can't mention the NFL without mentioning the NFL offseason without mentioning Deflategate. This is it continues on. When we last did this podcast, it was the night before Roger Goodell heard Tom Brady's appeal and they did the whole Larry David stare down. Since then, absolutely nothing has changed. Good figure.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised. No, I wasn't surprised at all. I thought maybe it might happen last Friday just because we were short staffed and that would be usually when we get bombarded with news. Didn't happen then. You don't think it's happening before the July 4th weekend, do you?
No. I did a radio spot on Wednesday morning with Dan Levy of Bleacher Report.
Congratulations on pronouncing his name correctly after 10 years.
Dan Levy. I don't know what's the deal with my pronunciation thing. And he said, he's like, it's blatantly coming Friday, isn't it? July 4th, Newton. I was like, no, there's no, look, as we're recording this, it's Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Half of the, and Friday is July 3rd. Saturday is July 4th. So a lot of people are going to get Friday off, right?
Yeah, not me, but you will.
Well, no, well, yeah, but I'm off now. But I'm saying like a lot of people,
people with real jobs will not be working on Friday.
A lot of businesses are going to take Friday off because Saturday's the 4th, which means that more than likely I would bet that the NFL is closed on July 3rd because they're a big organization. So if these briefs are due this week from Brady to the NFL, I mean, look, that's fine if Brady's lawyers want to send them in today. They send them in right now. The NFL is putting them on a stack on somebody's desk and saying, let's look at those on Monday. Or they're forwarding to the necessary people and saying, if you can look at these over the weekend.
God. Who's the jerk boss that's telling you look at that over the weekend?
Exactly. But like, does the NFL care about rushing this process? Hell no. They haven't cared about rushing the process the whole time. So, I mean, to me, the earliest you're going to, like, I would bet I get Blue Apron before we get Tom Brady appeal. I bet people get their beer before Tom Brady's appeal gets ruled on.
Man, let's not get crazy. Is there anything in the CBA that says that there can't be, that there's a time frame on how long the NFL can push this off? Because if I were Roger Goodell, I would push it off until week four of the preseason and then make an announcement because Brady would have to move at lightning speed to get an injunction. But, I mean, there might be something in the CBA that says you can't muck around for, you know, 8 weeks when we need to know something much sooner.
I don't think there is anything. And my only logic, and I haven't read the CBA, but my only logic for this is, have you seen George Atala tweeting about the Greg Hardy thing?
Nope.
Because you know whose appeal we haven't gotten a ruling on?
Who is he? Tell people who he is.
George Atala is the NFLPA PR guy. But right. Do you know whose appeal we haven't heard gotten a ruling on yet?
Gregorio Hardy.
Yeah, Greg Hardy. He didn't even have a ruling. You think we're going to get Tom Brady ruling all of a sudden?
And that was April.
It was
February?
30 days. No, it was 30 days ago.
Wait, the Hardy thing was?
I
think it seems like it was longer than that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that happened earlier in the spring. Whatever. The point is, it's been a month at the least. No word on that. And I mean, no one's even talking about it.
It was late May.
Okay. So, but no one's even talking about that. I mean, certainly something that has to do with the Deflategate nonsense taking over the news cycle. But I'm sure the Cowboys would like to know what the deal is.
Yeah, I mean, so on June 25th, Atala tweeted, 28 days later and still waiting for a decision in the Greg Hardy matter, according to sources.
Ha ha ha. Okay, so there you go. It's at least a month. This thing happened last week, June 23rd, I think. So July 23rd, that's the start of training camp. And that's still, I mean, not a lot of time for Brady and his people to get the wheels of legal justice in motion. So I don't know.
I mean, look, the lawyers almost always from someone who's worked in a law firm only for my dad. So I mean, maybe
he's been arrested countless times.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows the legal process well because of his history with getting arrested. Lawyers drag ass on everything. And they're going to take
quick lawyers don't get paid as much as slow lawyers.
But that's exactly right. Yeah. You hustle up as a lawyer. Yeah. If you skip the meetings and the conferences and the strip club
sessions after work, all the other things
to discuss the case, you can't bill hours. So these lawyers want to drag it out, bill as many hours as they can. And then they tend to send stuff in. You know how like the NFL likes to dump news at 4:30 on a Friday? Mm-hmm. Lawyers like to send things at 4:30 on a Friday. So right. They probably know they have till 4:30 on Thursday afternoon. They're going to send that stuff in sometime around like 24 hours from now is my guess. And at that point, the NFL is going to say, you know what, we're not looking at this till we get back. And then we'll start looking at it on Monday. We'll sit, you know, everybody's going to glance over this really quickly over the weekend if you have time. We're going to meet Monday morning. We're going to go over this stuff and we'll start thinking about how to process this appeal ruling. And then there's going to be another 2 weeks before they rule on it. It's going to be close to August by the time that we get a ruling on the Tom Brady appeal. And at that point in time, he's going to sue the NFL. And I think if you're the NFL and you want to deal, if you're the NFL and you push out the time frame with which Tom Brady is going to sue you to the point where the lawsuit is happening as as the preseason and as the regular season is unfolding, you will get a lot less bad press.
Yeah, but you also run the risk of having not things move quickly enough for you to get what you need in terms of an injunction and playing.
No, for Brady's case.
Right, for Brady.
I was saying for the NFL, but if this is this is all going down while people are focusing on training camp and preseason games, but like once it's crazy. I mean, it takes
it's
something.
It's the Ray Rice PR strategy, because that came out in September, I think right before the season started last year.
No, it came out that's what I say. The only thing that can flip it is a video. And if you think
Brady
about
doing what?
Punching somebody. But I mean, if you think about it, with the Ray Rice stuff. So the video from TMZ came out the Monday after week one of last season. How was that? It hadn't even been a year yet. That's insane. And if you think about it, the Ray Rice stuff had gone away. I mean, people were still mad about the Ravens, and there was still some concern about that week two Thursday night game featuring the Ravens and the Steelers, you know, the first Thursday night CBS game. It was like, well, you know, this will be a topic. It'll have to be addressed. How will they deal with it? And then wham, Monday morning came along. But it takes something like that to distract us from the actual football. Otherwise, football trumps everything, especially when it comes to like legal matters, because nobody cares. People read about legal matters in the offseason when it's going on, but nobody cares about Tom Brady's legal affairs with the NFL once football starts playing, especially if Brady is cleared by the league to play or cleared by a court to play.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Maybe the last instance of that, or one of the most memorable, is 2011 during the lockout. Got that settled in whatever, late July, early August, and no one gave a crap once the season started, even though players had only, you know, weeks to prepare. I remember Cam Newton and all the other rookies in that class didn't have a chance to do much, but, you know, he played relatively well, blah, blah, blah. Those are the storylines you're talking about.
That's right. And remember, there was an injunction right after the draft. It was conveniently timed by the Players Association and the NFL that the injunction happened. The first round picks were able to sprint in, get their playbooks, and sprint back. And then like, and it was like, lockout's back on. You know, it was like Wayne's World, like car.
Right. Exactly.
Game on.
Game off. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Game off. Game on. Yeah. I mean, it's silly, but I mean, that's fine. And I think that the way this is going to play out, they're going to take forever to get to rule on this appeal from Brady. We're going to get out to late July, early August. Training camps are going to start. Tom Brady is going to sue the NFL. It's going to be background noise that people are going to talk about. The Patriots will handle it fine because we've seen how they deal with that stuff in and around training camp. They'll be like, you know, my lawyers advise I can't talk about that. And then the beat reporters will go around to everybody, try and get a comment. Nobody will comment. They'll move on from it. And then Brady will get the injunction. He'll play week one. And either that injunction is going to last throughout the entire year, or they'll pick a time midway through the season to settle. And he's going to sit out week three or week nine. And that'll be it. It's that simple.
So you think he will play week one is what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I wrote that piece last week. So that way I'm on record. I'm on record as saying it. I'm also on record as saying that the Avett brothers will come out with the Rolling Stones tonight and do a dual honky-tonk women encore performance.
I have no idea who that is.
Any of those things or just the Avett brothers?
What's it called? The Avett brothers?
The Avett brothers. They're from Concord, North Carolina. And they've got like a bunch of Grammys. They're really famous. They're kind of like a alt country type band. Did like them?
Okay,
I could see you walking around like sliding Yellowtail around in the glass, like crooning an Avett Brothers song. Google some Avett Brothers when we get off this. But they're from Concord, and one of the dudes went out and bought a ticket to the Rolling Stones in Raleigh tonight. And then he found out that they were going to open up for them because the Stones are having local bands at each venue open up for him.
Uh-huh.
Like famous local bands. So then the dude went out and got his ticket. Like, just like, you know, I did.
I vote for the Connells.
Interesting. It's bold. It is. They are. I think they're like 3 years older than the Rolling Stones.
Hey, they're a Raleigh band. That's pretty much all they have going for them at that point.
That's true. All right. Moving along to other NFL news, LGBT. I think I said that right. You said it wrong, so you could have messed me up.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a bunch of news with the landmark ruling from SCOTUS, the Supreme Court last Friday, to allow gay marriage in all 50 states. Very cool stuff. If you look, if my thing is, if you want to get married, and you want to get harassed for the rest of your life and give away 50% of what you own, by all means, dive on in.
Right. Now, I think that Chris Rock may have said that back in the day. I don't remember who it was, but a comedian made that point. If gays and lesbians want to be as unhappy as the rest of us and do it legally, by all means, knock yourself right out.
If 50 of you people want to be, you people, I'm kidding, obviously. If 50% of you all want to get divorced, come on in. You know.
So listen to this. This is actually one of the highlights of my social media existence. And it's not even, it doesn't have to do with my face. So when the ruling was Friday, I believe, I was at a kid's birthday party at a water park. And I literally was sitting underneath like an umbrella for 3 hours watching the kids run around. And it was
definitely Friday because you know whose birthday it ruined.
Oh, that's right. It was your birthday.
Mine.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was checking my face and I saw, this is one of the best tweets I've ever seen. It was from Game of Thrones. And they tweeted out a picture of Renly. Now, yeah. People who don't follow Game of Thrones, this will mean nothing. If you do follow Game of Thrones, you know that Renly was in line for the throne at one point. For the crown,
you should probably say at this point, spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. So turn this off if you plan on watching Game of Thrones, going back to seasons 1 through 4.5, 5, I guess. So anyway, Renly was in line for the crown at one point. And he was also not openly gay, but he was gay, and that was no secret to people who watched it. So anyway, Game of Thrones tweets this out on Friday after the ruling, like a kind of animated picture of Renly behind a gay flag, and it says "Be proud, equality, SCOTUS marriage," and it's hilarious. I thought it was very funny. So I retweeted that and I added this little part here. It says, Renly is better than the shadow creature, which if you have watched the show, you will understand this. If not, turn it off again. Renly's better than the shadow creature. Shadow creature is what killed Renly. And that those shadow creatures were sent by Melisandre. And I said, the shadow creatures are better than Melisandre. And it was a roundabout way of saying Renly prevailed over the forces of uptight religious folks and evil. Not saying that.
Should Game of Thrones really be making any comments on marriage or weddings?
Yeah. Well, I don't care. And you know why? I don't care for two reasons. Number one, they favorited my tweet. And number two, Game of Thrones now follows me on Twitter.
They've been following me forever, man. Come on.
No, they don't. I checked all 49,000 people they follow.
touche.
That was the highlight of my Friday. No one got my Twitter reference to Renly, Shadow Creatures, and Melisandre. My wife's like, I have no idea what this means. What do these little squiggly lines mean? So it means greater than in the social media universe. Keep up, old lady.
Yeah. Look at you. Hey, we haven't had your weekly. I wonder how people are reacting to your weekly Facebook stuff. Did say it was funny. It was hilarious. Before the show started, you were talking about, you're like, all these old people on Facebook. It's like 3 weeks in. Now all of a sudden you're like Mark Zuckerberg or something.
The tide has turned. Right. I need to get on Snapchat. I guess. Although I guess that Facebook has now created their own version of Snapchat. I think that the allure has worn off. But that said, still follow. What's my Facebook thing? Ryan Wilson CBS. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right. Facebook.com/RyanWilsonCBS. I am Facebook.com/WillBrinsonSports.
Yeah.
At this point, like, we're approaching, it's probably like 96 or 120 straight hours where of Facebook only being about gay marriage and the Confederate flag.
Oh God. Yeah.
I get that. That's where people have to air their political and religious and social grievances, but it's very frustrating.
Yep. I thought it was a place where you just put up pictures of cats and your kids, but apparently I was wrong.
Right. And now I'm seeing that South Carolina is threatening to secede from the Union if the Confederate flag is. So that's fun.
South Carolina, the birthplace of Ryan Wilson.
It's like, South Carolina, we're a homeless man's Texas.
Oh, come on.
What? That's what they are.
All right. What do we got NFL-wise?
Well, you don't want to keep talking about the Confederate flag?
Oh, we can. Is it still hanging in your?
No, more LGBT. So the yeah, it's like, well, I wouldn't say it's not hanging if it's a wallpaper, right?
It's a fathead.
No. I have it. My entire office is just wallpaper Confederate flag.
Yeah,
it's not white. It's wallpaper.
It's nothing new.
No, right. Nobody's surprised by that. That's actually not true. Just in case something else. The Lions are, so the other thing, the 49ers tweeted a big thing. They tweeted out a hashtag love wins with the 49ers logo with the rainbow colors, the gay pride colors. That's cool. Somebody else did something. And then the Lions are going to have...
the Lions are set to host an LGBT Pride Night later this season, October, I think it's the Vikings. And they, if it happens, they'll become the fourth Detroit professional sports team to do so. The Red Wings have done it, the Tigers have done it, and the Pistons have done it.
What about the Redskins? No?
That would be something, yes.
It's fascinating to me that people get all in a tizzy about someone's sexual preference. Like, who cares? I mean, it goes back to Facebook. Like, why are you getting on Facebook yelling about someone's right to get married? Like, who cares?
I get if your religious beliefs are such that they think that it shouldn't happen, whatever. I understand that. But I'm of the opinion, whether you're religious or not, I'm coming from a religious background. I'm not religious, but I just don't have time to be dealing with other people's. I got so much stuff on my plate with my crazy kids that whatever you do in your home is completely and wholly up to you. I do not care. As long as you're not beating anybody up, not breaking any laws. Hey man, knock yourself out. Just be nice to people.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I have enough time for social activism, and I don't mean to be like a jerk, but I just don't like, I care. I honestly do care. And I think it's good. And I'm glad, like, I'm pro, I'm pro people getting to do their thing. I just don't have, it's a lot of work, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There are too many other things I got to worry about.
I worry about filming this video for the Steelers roster thing.
Boom.
And so that's that on the LGBT stuff, which is, again, very cool. I'm glad the Lions are doing it. More teams should do it. Be a social activist. Be a conduit to your society, to your team, to your city. Lions, good job. The Bills, we'll get to that Steelers roster thing in a second. The Bills said that, at least Marcel Darius did, said that it is so obtainable, that the Bills could have the best defense of all time under Rex Ryan. What say you?
All time? I thought you'd meant like the 2015 defenses. All time's that's a bit ambitious. 2015, sure. I mean, they could. That defense was very good last year. All time, I mean, that's just whatever.
Did I read this wrong? I feel like that's what he said.
Maybe he did. It isn't. I mean, guys say every year that.
He said, best ever, Darius said. It's so obtainable. All we have to do is continue to do what we want and not what we can. If we do what we want and do everything to head in that direction, why can't we? Why can't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's along the lines of the, what do you want to do? We want to win the Super Bowl argument. We're going to do it. Okay,
yeah,
say it. I get it. But that defense can be very good, and they could give Tom Brady trouble because that's really the only competition in the AFC East. But at the end of the day, I still think everyone agrees the Patriots are going to win the division, whether Brady plays 12 games or all 16.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would have 2 points to make. One, how about we just make the playoffs, Marcel?
Yeah, 1999, last year you made the playoffs. Buffalo.
Yeah, 15 years, maybe 16 years, actually. I guess maybe we could make the playoffs one time first. Could shoot for back-to-back year. No, actually, I got three things to make. Two, could shoot for back-to-back years with a winning record. I'm sure 1999 is also the same time. And three, the Seattle Seahawks would like a word. Because, I don't really know what he means. Does he mean they're going to have the best defense ever for a single year? Because I don't know that.
Single play.
Just one play against the Jets.
Gino, you were being summoned.
I don't think that we look at necessarily teams as, it's like, wow, remember that? I mean, maybe the Buccaneers and the Ravens that won the Super Bowl, maybe that first Seahawks team.
But you know what? That goes back to, right, it goes back quite a ways when defenses, I mean, defenses are still obviously important, but now it's a offensive driven league and
I just feel like if you talk about someone as having the best defense ever, then they did it across multiple years. Like they did magic. Like the 85 Bears is one of the greatest defenses ever. But you know what I mean? Like they were good in general.
Yeah.
The Ravens have had a good defense. The Buccaneers, you know what I mean? Like it's not.
Yeah. Seahawks. Yeah. No, I buy all that. Even the Steelers. I mean, they weren't the best, but they were one of the best.
If you have one
of
the best defenses of all time, you have to win the Super Bowl to even be in that conversation.
Well, to go back to your original point, the Bills need to concentrate on getting back to the playoffs.
Right. Baby steps, Marcel. Baby steps.
But we applaud your optimism.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good. Good for him. I mean, yeah. But it's stupid offseason stuff.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's contract talks continue unabated. This to me is kind of the point where, like, I'm getting sick of Russell Wilson. I'm certainly sick of his contract talks. Well, I've been making this point a lot the last 24 hours, and I think it's worth noting, is that when Cam Newton and the Panthers reached a new contract, How many words did Cam Newton say publicly leading up to that contract about his deal? Zero. He didn't say anything.
Yeah, I think he might have even been asked about it and really didn't say a whole bunch.
He purposely kept his mouth shut. He didn't make negotiations public. He didn't take shots at the team. He didn't use the media to create a bigger storm than it was. And he got rewarded with a big contract. Russell Wilson every day has something new to say about his contract. And it's like he could, I mean, like I get that large part of it, he's being robotic. And, you know, he says like, I want to be a Seahawk for a long, long time. But he's like, and he's saying like, I don't care if it's 25 million or 1.5 million, but they're also like thinly veiled shots at the Seahawks. And then the Seahawks are doing the same stuff. John Schneider's out there like, well, you know, we got to do what we got to do. It's just unnecessarily contentious. Tom Condon had it right when he was talking about Eli Manning's deal. Quarterbacks get done. He's not leaving the Seahawks. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, no, I agree. In fact, I was on Seattle radio on Tuesday afternoon, and they started off by saying, this is a Russell Wilson free zone. We're not even talking about it. We're so tired of it. And I was like,
in Seattle radio.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, you could have told me that ahead of time, because I just spent 20 minutes reading up on his stupid contract.
What will we be talking about?
We talked about Bobby Wagner. I was like, well, I'm certainly not prepared to talk a lot about Bobby Wagner. I'm going to be honest with you. But and then it went around the league and stuff. But so yeah,
you actually read up before you do those things. Huh?
Well, you know they're going to ask you about Russell Wilson's contract. And I know that Jason Lockenport had written something about the details of what was going on a few days ago. Yes. So I just skimmed that, and I needed 15 seconds.
I just assume that people are going to ask me like general NFL things. I get mad when I go in places and they're like, all right, so like that Utah radio show. Like, all right.
Yeah, the Utah. I've been on that Utah radio station. Who's the Paul Kruger plays for the Browns now? He's from Utah, I think, and his brothers maybe went there, his younger brothers. I was on that show once, and one of the few times I think I went on the show in Utah before the draft, and they were asking me about late round pick Paul Kruger's brother, where he might go. I said, dude, I'll be honest, I had no idea Paul Kruger had a brother. So you need to kind of dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, they're like, all right, so who's more likely to go first round? Eric Rowe? Or I was like,
Yes. Correct.
Sure. Yeah, I think, I mean, that's on me. I probably should have read up on the Utah draft prospects.
Getting back to Russell, the point is this. He is a boring version of Peyton Manning, and that's not really a compliment. You know what? Actually better. Peyton Manning's actually not boring now. He's gotten really good at television. He's a boring version of Eli Manning. That is certainly not a compliment. He needs to stop doing what he's doing. Either shut up like Cam does, or, you know, find a way to be a little more engaging, because you're boring people to death. And I don't.
But Peyton and Eli wouldn't take shots at their team through the media. No.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I just mean in general, in terms of interacting with the media. And I get the old PR thing. You want to be boring. You don't want to give me anything to talk about. But we're talking about this, and it has a lot to do with the fact, I don't know what the angle is. As you point out, he's going to get paid. He's a quarterback. And even if some miracle he ends up not being in Seattle, he'll get paid somewhere else.
One of three things is going to happen. Either Seattle's going to give him a bunch of money via a long-term contract. Seattle's going to give him a bunch of money, short-term money via the franchise tag. $25 million guaranteed for 25. I mean, I feel like Russell Wilson would play that.
Yeah, JLC thinks he'll sign it the moment it arrives in practice.
Yeah, because it's five times as much as he got on his rookie deal. Or he's going to hit the open market. I guess he could theoretically be traded. Florio wrote that, because Florio will write anything when it comes to, I'm not taking a shot at Florio. He will, he wisely explores those avenues. But I think to me, the trade is just, it's not.
Florio once made the argument in 2010 when Roethlisberger suspended for the first four games that Dennis Dixon playing well might supplant Roethlisberger as the starter.
There you go. Florio is not afraid to walk out. Stir the pot. That's right. And so, of course, naturally, you know, Florio read something about people, Russell Wilson being traded. That one actually didn't get a lot of traction, thankfully. I don't see the Seahawks trading him. If somebody called the Seahawks and offered them two first-round picks, do you think they would consider it?
If this were draft day, the movie, yes. Otherwise, no. they might. You know what? You could do that. What's it called? The transition tag. And isn't that automatically two first-round picks?
No. Non-exclusive franchise tag.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, you could.
Two first-round picks is a lot.
Yeah, but again, this isn't another position. You have to have a backup plan that doesn't involve drafting a guy you know nothing about.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, so, I mean, would the Browns give up two first-round picks for Russell Wilson? I think hell yes.
Yeah. That's a different conversation.
But what I'm saying, if you put the non-exclusive franchise tag on Russell Wilson, then anyone can offer you, can sign him to an offer sheet and get two first-round picks. So the Raiders, if Derek Carr, that people think for some reason he's the answer, but that's fine.
Let me ask you this. Would you, if you're the Seahawks, would you take Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers 2016 first round pick for Russell Wilson.
No.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Would you?
No, but that's two first round picks. That's the first overall pick in 2015.
And well, and that's, and this is a different story too, because that's a first overall pick, or that's a first round pick that is the actual equivalent of a quarterback who could be a potential starter. I'm just not high on Jameis Winston. The difference is,
well, Marcus Mariota, whoever you want, it doesn't matter.
But I'm saying if the Seahawks did that and put the non-exclusive franchise tag on Russell Wilson and he signed it, the Browns could come along and give the Seahawks two first round picks in the future and sign Russell Wilson to a sheet and get Russell Wilson.
And they could throw in Johnny Manziel just for laughs.
Right. But if they did that, the Seahawks would then have, the only way the Seahawks could acquire a quarterback was through those first round picks. As we learned this year, even though the Browns had two in the same draft, they couldn't even get a franchise quarterback.
They already have one. Got him last year.
But my point is that there's no guarantee. Like, you might have the 15th pick and you might not be able to get up to number one.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. That's my point, though. You stick with, when you're talking about quarterbacks and not talking about something else, you stick with what you have, because you don't know, even if, you know, Jameis Winston is considered the best prospect in the last 20 years, you still don't know how it's going to turn out. Look at RG3.
Exactly. Yeah. So just stop being coy, everybody, and just work out a deal. He doesn't need to be the highest paid player. Make him a top five paid NFL quarterback, because he won't be there for very long. Give him enough guaranteed money where he's happy and lock him down, and we can stop writing these stupid stories every freaking day about Russell Wilson's contract. Drives me nuts.
Crazy. All right. What else?
All right. So you wrote something, and I'm sure that it's on the site.
Read it, remember?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. the Steelers. So your headline here, is even an average Steelers defense could mean deep playoff run in 2015.
How do you respond to that headline? I hope it says 2016. No, 2015, right? Okay. How do you respond to that headline?
Sure.
not even going to put up a fight. Doesn't elicit much.
I picked the Steelers to go. I honestly, I've skimmed this. I haven't really read it. I picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl before last year. Sorry about
that. All right. That's right. Against the Saints, was it?
Against the Saints. Steelers was actually the better choice of the two. And I don't disagree with this, because Pittsburgh's offense has the potential to really explode this year.
They were number two last year, according to Football Outsiders, behind only Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And that's pretty explosive. The flip side, and this is the point I was making, the defense was 30th.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Okay. The Packers defense was 16th. And if they have virtually the same offense in terms of productivity, and they made it all the way to the conference championship game, lost to Seahawks. We all know that story. But I think that had very little to do with the defense, very much to do with the bad luck of the onside kick debacle. But more than that, Mike McCarthy being a terrible play caller for 60 minutes, the worst 60 minutes of his life, as far as I'm concerned. And I think if the Steelers can go from 30th to even like 18th, 19th, 20th in terms of defense, that can get them over the hump in terms of, you know, actually winning a playoff game for the first time since 2010.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think
so. Can they get from 30th to something less terrible?
Well, yeah, that's the question. I guess that is the question of your article.
Troy Polamalu's gone. Ike Taylor's gone. Brett Kiesel's gone.
But I mean, look, no offense to those guys. I mean, is that?
But I'm about to offend you. Go ahead.
I mean, it's not addition by subtraction, because you'd rather have him there. I don't think they make the team. I don't think their absence makes the team better, but I don't think that their absence makes the team significantly worse.
Here's how I'll put it. Brett Kiesel, last year, towards the middle of the season, Brett Kiesel was the best of those three players. He still had the most left in the tank.
And for all we know, Brett Kiesel at that time was doing Head and Shoulders commercials.
He was.
Like, he wasn't even playing football, and he was the best player of those guys. I mean, if you look at this defense, and I'm curious to see how Keith Butler's going to work this. Like, is he going to stick with the 3-4?
Yep, he is.
He said he's not going to be. LeBeau was pretty determined to always stay in the 3-4, right?
Well, like in the nickel packages, they would change. They would have 4-man fronts. But Butler's going to do is it sounds like he's going to blitz more, because LeBeau didn't blitz as much as some people would like. Maybe Mike Tomlin included. I don't know. But they're going to try to be more aggressive. The problem is, if you don't have any people in the back end or your pass rushers aren't good enough, you're going to get burned anyway. So I suppose it's a matter of how you want to get burned for an in or back end.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, if your defense sucks anyway, Why not blitz and try and cover up?
Yeah.
For some of it?
I mean, you know, that's sort of the Greg Williams philosophy. When his teams were very good, he just sends everyone, and sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. But worth pointing out, Bud Dupree, the Kentucky outside linebacker, their first round pick this year. Cinquez Golden, the second round pick. Smallish, but he's a cornerback. Last year, Ryan Shazier in the first round. Mm-hmm. Stephon Tuitt in the second round. The year before that, Jarvis Jones in the first round. So they focused on the defense. It's just a matter of these guys having to play well.
They've dumped a ton of resources into the defense and the offensive line.
So, you know.
And the offensive line is finally panning out. Remember, two years ago, it didn't look like they were very good.
And then I said last year, Mike Munchak was the biggest offseason acquisition, and he had a lot to do with that success. I mean, the players certainly stayed healthy. That helps. And guys came along. But they got to have something happen on the defense. And I think,
I mean, there's a ton of invested talent in this defense.
Yeah. So they just got to play well. Jarvis Jones was hurt last year. He got hurt in the Panthers game, which I think was maybe week three or week four or something. Cam was banged up in that game. It was, you know, that at that point the Panthers looked like a one-win team, and the Steelers looked very good. But Jarvis Jones got hurt, and he didn't play until later in the season. He was still sort of recovering. But they got to have the young guys step up. And you know what happens typically is that you start slow with the young guys, and things sort of come on week 8, 9. So if the Steelers can hang in there the first half of the season, and their schedule's incredibly tough, but if they can, you know, hang on to the first half of the season, the defense sort of gets it together. Maybe you make a run the last 2 months. Who knows?
I could see it happening. I mean, it's not a, you know, would you rather, I mean, do you feel more comfortable predicting a playoff berth for the Steelers or Ravens or Bengals? God.
Ravens is my knee jerk reaction because they've only missed the playoffs once with Joe Flacco. So I would say them first. The Bengals are a hot mess, and they're one Andy Dalton interception
away. Hot mess.
I'm stuttering. They're an Andy Dalton hot mess, not the Bengals. The Bengals are have a very strong roster, good to very good roster. But Andy Dalton is the missing link, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm kind of like turning on this, like turning to the point where I kind of feel bad for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, no, I'm there, but that doesn't change the fact that he's not good.
No, I guess he's just not.
I don't think he's a top 15 quarterback. We can have that conversation at some point, but I don't think he is.
All right, whatever you say. No, he's probably not a top 15 quarterback.
Yeah,
he's a top.
Would you rather have Derek Carr or Andy Dalton?
Ugh, Andy Dalton, I think.
But you're not sure. That's the thing.
Like Derek Carr's younger, like he might have more upside, but I don't know that he
does. And it's very unlikely that he has more downside.
There's a weird group of people out there who think that Derek Carr is Andy Dalton's been in the playoffs several times.
3 times. Guess how many times he's won.
I'm not going to sit here and defend Andy Dalton, but especially when I like yell at like Prisco that Andy Dalton stinks right. For these very same reasons.
I love how you're battling Prisco for the right to defend Andy Dalton's honor.
No, I usually don't defend Andy Dalton. I was pointing out, he was like trying to justify that Marvin Lewis, that it wasn't Marvin's fault or Andy Dalton's fault that they lost the playoff games.
Uh-huh. What are the other losses? Whose faults were those?
Well, I mean, no, they lost all the playoff games. It was like, well, what about that? He was like, well, they didn't have anybody last year.
The Chargers game was completely Andy Dalton's fault. He was fumbling balls, just falling down.
Right. It's like, I mean, like you can't just like wipe away 5 of the 6 playoff losses and then be like, well, he's fine. I think that Andy Dalton's got, I just think we crucify these guys.
Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton. I don't like Jameis.
Marcus Mariota.
I like Marcus, so maybe Mariota.
All right.
Andy Dalton, but I mean, look, Andy Dalton hadn't been great at the NFL level by any stretch.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But I mean, he's a known commodity.
So is Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon sucks.
You would take Dalton over Whedon.
Are you serious?
Ginger on ginger crime. I'm not completely sure.
Oh my God. That's insane.
He didn't look terrible last year replacing Romo for a quarter and a half.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at, since you are so dead set on bashing Andy Dalton, we'll go through and we'll rank these backup quarterbacks. This is what we're going to do for the meat of this anyway. We're going to look at backup quarterbacks that you would take over Andy Dalton. And in the process of doing this, you're going to have to write this down. You're going to write down your 5 best backups. We'll go through every backup in the league, the number one backup, and you tell me if you would take them over Andy Dalton. All right, here's the list. We're going to run through it very quickly. This is to kind of coincide with the backup quarterback list that's coming on CBSSports.com. I did a video for it, which means it'll probably show up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Number one, and this is an alphabetical order based on the depth charts being shown on my fantasy football league. They actually have a nice depth chart section on CBS Sports Fantasy. We'll add a bonus there. Number one, Drew Stanton or Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton.
Wow, really? Drew Stanton was one of my top five backups. So I think
he struggles with accuracy. I mean,
he's good in the system.
When I think of Drew Stanton, I think of the fact that when he was drafted, he was either a second or third round pick of the Lions. Mike Martz, the coach at the time, was tasked with teaching him how to throw a spiral. That concerned me.
That's a concern. TJ Yates.
Come on.
I'm just reading him out.
Did TJ Yates actually beat Andy Dalton in that playoff game? Or was that another?
Yeah, he did actually beat him in that playoff game. That's a good point.
Will take Andy Dalton, though.
Derek Anderson or Andy Dalton?
See, now it's getting interesting. Anderson had that fantastic year back in 2007, I think, with the Browns. Uh-huh.
That's correct.
And he's not terrible as a backup to Cam Newton, but I think over the long haul, Dalton's slightly better.
Derek Anderson, also one of my top fives. David Fales, you're not taking David Fales or Andy Dalton.
No.
Or Jimmy Clausen.
No.
Brandon Whedon or Andy Dalton.
Well, I just said I would take Brandon Whedon, I think, so I'll stick
just,
with
you're
that.
You're just trolling at that point. Kellen Moore or Scott Tolzien?
Kellen Moore. He can't even throw the ball over
him. How is he still in the NFL?
I don't know.
Dan Orlovsky could be also qualify as his backup.
Orlovsky's guy ran out of the back of the end zone for the safety.
I'd take Orlovsky over Kellen Moore, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Sean Hill for the Vikings or Luke McCown for the
Three
Saints?
Years ago, I would have taken Sean Hill, but he seems to have fallen off a cliff in terms of holding the best backup that no one knows status. Neither right. him nor McCown Jr. I'll take Andy.
Ryan Nassib of the Giants?
No.
Mark Sanchez of the Eagles?
I don't think you can take Sanchez.
What? I would easily take Sanchez.
I was just thinking, though, how would Andy Dalton do in Chip Kelly's offense?
I think he'd be really good.
Yeah, and Sanchez was... He was like slightly above average. He wasn't great. I think I might stick with Dalton.
Back. I'd rather have Dalton.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Tavares Jackson, Blaine Gabbert, or Austin Davis?
I think Tavares is out of the league. Blaine Gabbert, absolutely not. And who's the last guy? Austin Davis, no.
Tavares is in the league, I think.
I think he's looking for work.
Oh, then who's Seattle's backup? BJ Daniels?
It's one guy. I don't know. It's like some random dude. That's funny you mentioned that, but I don't think
it's possible. It's possible these depth charts I'm trumping are not updated.
Or I could be wrong.
No, Tavares is in the league.
I thought he was a free agent.
No, he's with the, I think he's with the, I'm pretty sure he's with the Seahawks.
Okay, maybe I was wrong.
Tavares Jackson. Yes, he's with the Seahawks. Okay. These depth charts don't lie, bro.
Sorry, Tavares. Right,
last two NFC candidates, Mike Glennon or Kirk Cousins?
I've never been a Kirk Cousins fan. I mean, he seems sort of like a poor man's Andy Dalton, to be honest with you. And I think he actually... invoked Dalton's name when Jay Gruden took over as sort of being a similar player. That turned out to not be true at all.
That's right.
And who was the first guy?
Mike Glennon.
I want to like Glennon. I just don't think he's accurate enough. I think actually Dalton is better on the short passes. God, why am I sticking with, I have to stick with Dalton. All right. So
yeah. The only guy you've picked him over in the NFC is
Brandon Whedon.
It's just, you're stuck with that. But
ginger trolling.
That's right. Matt Schaub or EJ Manuel or Matt Castle.
Oh, Jesus.
Or Tyrod Taylor.
You know what? I will take Tyrod Taylor because Rex Ryan loves him for some weird reason.
Get out of here.
But I'm not Matt Schaub 4 years ago, maybe. Who's the other guy?
Any of the three. We don't know who started.
I'm not taking Matt Castle, no.
AJ McCarron or Johnny Manziel?
No and no.
Brandon Whedon is your number one backup? Brock Osweiler. Brian Hoyer or Matt Hasselbeck?
I would take Hoyer and Hasselbeck over Andy Dalton.
Hasselbeck is like 97.
He's 400 years old.
Well, he's just there. Like he's there just
he's been bald for 35 years.
He's 39.
He looks the exact same. He's the same age as Peyton Manning.
He's been bald since he was 29.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll take this guy. I think they're better.
Okay. But not Osweiler. Even though Osweiler.
Don't know anything about that guy.
People want Osweiler over Manning in Denver. People are stupid.
Yeah.
Chad Henne or Chase Daniel?
Chenny or Chase? Where's Chenny now? He's not in. He's Jacksonville. Oh, he was terrible. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'll stick with Andy.
I said Chase Daniel is one of the worst five backup quarterbacks in the league.
He makes a lot of money too.
Because of his contract, exactly. Matt Moore or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I like Matt Moore, but I don't think he's like a starter in the NFL. I'd roll the dice with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to have to play anyway, so we'll see. But I think if I had to take a chance, whether it's long-term Jimmy or long-term Andy, I think I'll go with Jimmy.
All right. I actually think there's an interesting case there for him. I didn't have Garoppolo in my top five because I don't know anything about him.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think that were you willing to take the upside of, and it's only if the Browns had drafted Garoppolo, we'd be like, this kid is garbage.
Absolutely not. All right.
Yeah, but the Patriots drafted him, so we think they might know something. Ryan Fitzpatrick or Matt McGloin?
Oh God, I forgot about Matt McGloin. He's still around. No, on neither.
Okay. Bruce Gradkowski, Kellen Clemens.
I would consider Gradkowski, but again, if we're talking about over the course of a season, I think that Dalton's probably better.
Consider Gradkowski.
Yeah, he's not terrible.
By the way, we definitely listed AJ McCarron, who's actually Andy Dalton's backup. I didn't even make note of that.
Yeah, and he also said that someone said close to him that he should be an NFL starter at some point.
Okay, and here's the last one. Zach Mettenberger.
Oh, that, you know what? That's closer than it should be. He's just too much weirdness off the field. He didn't play terribly last year on a super terrible team, but you know, he's going to be on the bench now with Mariota. I think I got to roll with Dalton.
I'd give Mettenberger over Dalton.
You could talk me into that pretty easily. I think I only took two or three guys, Hoyer,
Hoyer,
Whedon, and the other guy that you mentioned with Whedon, Hoyer
and Hasselbeck. Are you drunk? Being honest, you're like,
yes, I am. But what's I got to do with
that? Okay, so who are your top five backups then? You name two others besides
Mettenberger. And probably Sanchez.
No, that's fair.
You can throw Anderson in there.
I threw Whedon in my bottom five. Do you have a bottom five? Did you put together a bottom five?
It starts with Matt Castle, Jimmy Clausen.
Clausen's actually third string.
Oh, okay.
And Tim Tebow?
Tebow. Is he a quarterback? I mean, come on.
He's at third string. I'm not dealing with third stringers here.
Zach Dysert. I don't even know where Denver. Cody Fajardo. Come on.
Tom Savage.
Tom Savage. There you go.
He has a particular set of skills.
Oh, Matt Flynn. He's now with the Patriots. He's not a third stringer. That's a guy that you can make an argument could possibly be.
No way.
You know, you wouldn't take him over Andy Dalton.
Hell no.
By Josh Freeman.
No. God.
Okay, just checking. He's with the Dolphins temporarily.
How about Steven Morris? Josh Johnson, PJ Daniels, Macaulay grad like me. No, I would not take any of those bros over Andy Dalton. So there you have it. Andy Dalton, the fifth best backup quarterback in the NFL. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Seth Lobato, Tampa Bay. Never heard of him.
So, I mean, I think the long story short is like 25 teams are screwed if their quarterbacks go down.
And it reinforces the argument about why Russell Wilson's not going anywhere.
You have to. Exactly. That's exactly right. Bring it all full circle. So that's the Iron Football Podcast for Ryan Wilson. I am Will Brinson. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. You guys have a great 4th of July weekend. Don't release any news on Friday, NFL.